The Ecumenical Patriarchate presents
In the Narthex
with Father Paul Petitsis.
Join him as he shares with us the ancient apostolic faith of the Christian Greek Orthodox Church.
And now your host, Father Paul.
Welcome to In the Narthex, a radio program of the Sacred Archdiocese of New Zealand. I'm your host, Father Pavlos Petitsis of the Holy Trinity Greek Orthodox Church, located in lovely Western Springs. As you know, every week we try to put an engaging program together for you, and sometimes with great forethought and sometimes with the help of serendipity. Today is one of those days. We have visiting with us an author of a book of a very interesting title called The Pursuit of Dreams. And his name is Dr. Dragos Pratasanu. Did I say that right, Doctor?
Yes, that's correct.
Very good. Well, Presbytera, we have met quite a few people in this studio over the years. Wouldn't you say this might be one of the most interesting persons we've had a chance to interview in the radio here?
Yeah, I think this is probably the most interesting since we've had Aidan Hart.
Aidan Hart, of course. And, of course, yeah. Metropolitan Amphilochios was always a... very interesting.
We're not. This is outside of the clergy realm. We have Father Meletios. We've had Father Metropolitan Amphilochios and Father Meletios, and we're still hoping to have Metropolitan Archbishop Miron one day soon.
Yes.
But,
And we had Father Martin Ritzi and Father Bartholomew Senebulu. We've had a lot of interesting people on this show. But as far as someone with the vast experience of life that we have in this Dr. Dragos, I think we haven't met someone. But before we actually interview him, I just want to hear from his wife, Anka. How are you, Anka?
I'm good. My first time on the radio.
Oh, is it? Oh, that's exciting. Yeah. Well, I hope you have a good time.
Yeah.
But now, can you, before we interview this young man, how did you meet him?
Oh, that's the weirdest story ever. We met in Romania 4 years ago, but we say that we met 40 years ago because we spent day and night together for the last 4 years. And he was a friend of my friend, and I had a business background. I was a procurement manager for Vodafone.
Wow.
But when he met me after a day and we didn't talk too much, he asked me if I would join him in his project that he made a movie with NASA legends and rock stars and New York Times best-selling authors. And it was so out of my universe that I wanted to see what's all about. So This is how we met.
Yeah. Interesting. Well, Dr. Dragos, it's a pleasure to have you on our program. Thank you for joining us today.
No, thank you for having me.
Well, as I said, I don't think I've ever interviewed someone of your caliber before, so forgive me for my own weaknesses. But you are, first of all, a scientist. Can you tell us a little bit about that? What did you study, and what kind of a scientist are you?
Sure, I did engineering back in Romania, and then my PhD degree in Germany in the space industry. So basically, I was developing algorithms for the satellite industry.
Is that sort of like if we say algorithms, is that sort of like artificial intelligence, that kind of thing?
Exactly.
Okay, so you're helping the computer brains of these machines to think for themselves a little bit, essentially.
I was writing software to translate the computer language into human language.
Oh, okay.
That was the main.
Okay.
And then I went to NASA for about 6 months to study there.
Yeah.
And I got the big blessing to be mentored by the father of Hubble Space Telescope and astronauts. And I learned from the person who sent the 3 rovers on Mars.
Amazing. You've really lived it. Everyone, excuse me, those who have the dream to be a scientist, you've already lived that dream. You've even gotten as far as to be involved with NASA and space exploration and satellites and so forth. So quite an exciting thing. Now, you've also done some very unusual things in your life. I don't know the whole story of your life, but certainly you tell in your book about, again, the name of the book is The Pursuit of Dreams, Claim Your Power, Follow Your Heart, and Fulfill Your Destiny. You mentioned that you went to the South Pole, and I haven't heard the whole story there, but how in the world did that work out?
So I was in my early 20s, and because I grew up in Romania in in the first years after communism, times were extremely quite challenging for most people. So my parents could only afford to give me $100 a month for the 5 years I was going to university.
Oh my goodness.
So I'm not complaining. I'm just saying that it was just the basics, just the minimum. Mm-hmm. And because you couldn't do too much with $100 a month, what I've done is I spent most of my afternoons, evenings, weekends in bookstores reading. I couldn't afford to buy the books. I was just picking up the books, reading them, putting them back. Now, as an author, I don't appreciate people doing that.
Yeah,
that sounds familiar.
Yeah, well done. I don't think we can hear
you.
Oh,
yeah, now we can hear you. Yeah, that sounds familiar.
Yeah, I had a similar experience when I was at the seminary. I couldn't afford the books, so I was going to the library. And
yeah. So, anyway. Because all of the books were coming from a different environment than my background in Eastern Europe. They're coming from the States or from England. All of them were saying, if you have a dream, if you have a passion, you can go do it. And the basic teachings you find in the self-help section.
Right.
So I said, okay, until I was in my early 20s, I never asked the question, what is my dream? Because I never thought it's possible.
You never even had a... dreamt a dream, so to speak.
Never. And I said to myself, you know what? I'm just going to try to see if these books actually say something interesting.
Yes.
And when I asked the question, what is my dream? The honest to God answer was, I want to go to the South Pole. The North Pole, the furthest, the coldest, and the most remote places on Earth. That was my honest dream.
Amazing. I just want to say, I am reading this book, and of course someone who's listening to you on the radio might say, oh, well, Dragos has an accent. It's not English isn't his first language. But I'm reading this book, I've read now, I've skimmed all the way to the ninth chapter now, and I see that it's a very smooth read. Your English is perfect. I would say, forgive me for saying, better than mine, So I don't know if that's how you're able to do that, but the writing is very superior. It's wonderful.
Oh, two things. Number one, I had the great blessing to have a good English teacher since I was 8 years old.
Wow.
And I've been studying it since my second grade. And when I was, I think, maybe 20 years old, so like 15 years ago, I said to myself, from this moment onwards, everything I'm reading, listening, watching is going to be only English. So I stopped reading Romanian books or only English.
So you sort of force your brain to say, okay, I'm going to make English my priority language, so to speak. Now, go ahead, Anke.
Many books on how to write.
Yes.
So this is what he's doing every day, reading.
Wow, what a mind. Now, you actually went then to the South Pole?
Yeah, so what happened was I spent 1 year and I said to myself, I'm not talking to anybody about what I'm doing.
Yes.
And I'm going to try any kind of idea that's legal and moral. So I wasn't going to break the law or the spiritual laws to get there. But
that's wise.
Another thing I've done, which is, it's extremely difficult, but is the key to your dreams, is when you set out on a journey, so if the spirit and the heart tells you this is what you have to do, never judge the journey along the way.
Beautiful.
Can learn from your mistakes. You can see, okay, this is not going right. But never judge how it's unfolding, because if you judge it, judgment leads to disappointment and you give up.
Right.
And what exactly led you to that particular conclusion?
That insight. How did you
That insight that you have.
I think I learned the hard way.
Yeah.
No, it just, I think one of, it came during a prayer moment and it just came out and I applied it. It's extremely difficult because our human mind is trained to, to think and to rationalize and to evaluate and to judge. But and what happened was I gave myself 1 full year and I just closed the eyes of my judgment and I went into faith for 1 year. And it took me 11 months and 15 days to be able to achieve it. So had I judged it, never would have happened.
Never would have happened.
Yeah.
Well, I'm just stumbling. I haven't got to finish the book yet. A very interesting read, by the way. Anybody who has an opportunity to buy this book, you would really enjoy it. And it's, what year did it come out? What year did you publish it?
It came 6 months ago.
6 months ago. So in 2018 then, huh?
This book has been my dream since I was 23 years old.
Wow.
And actually the fact that you're holding it is the evidence that what's in the book is real and it's working. Because when I was just a student, I was dreaming to becoming an author.
Yes.
But I think God had to take me on a journey of 10 years to be able to I think he wanted to make sure I don't write nonsense. And I write something that's helpful. And this is why you will not find something like this anywhere out in the bookstores.
Well, it says Hay House Incorporated. I've never heard of that publishing house, but it's located in many places in the country, in the world, I mean. Carlsbad, California, New York City, London, Sydney, Johannesburg, Vancouver, and New Delhi. So it's quite an international publishing house. And again, as I was saying, I'm reading through this, and I'm so amazed because I got to the point now where you decided that you needed a camera. If you're going to go as a photographer to the South Pole, you better have a good camera. So how did you find the camera? How did you solve that dilemma? I haven't gotten to that part of the book yet.
So what I've done is there are three things I've learned that if people have them and they put them in the right order, mm-hmm. dreams always come true. But they have to be in order because otherwise stuff doesn't happen.
Okay.
So the first key is what's in your heart. So what's in your heart is, as Jesus said, the spirit of truth. He is the one who has to guide you and tell you what do you have to do.
Mm.
So what's in your heart becomes then the motivation, the driver, the fuel that will keep you going for many, many years. As you go through the process, you get the wisdom, you get the knowledge, you go through the fire,
yes,
until you make something happen.
Yes.
So once you acknowledge what's in the heart truthfully,
mm-hmm.
you leave it aside. And you don't change it, and you go to step two, which is what's in your hand.
Oh.
Because whenever I ask people, what is your dream and why don't you go do it, the first answer that it comes is, I don't have, and then they bring the list.
Yes.
I don't have the time, the money, the energy, the effort, the connections, the courage, the age.
Yes.
It's a symphony of excuses.
Yes.
But if you can focus on what do you have...
What's in your hand?
What's in your hand? What okay. What do you know to do? What skills do you have? What can you know? What can you learn how to do?
Yes.
This opens the door to the third key, which is who do you best serve with what you have in your hand?
Okay.
So, because when I wanted to go to the South Pole and the North Pole, I had nothing. I had a
dream.
I had a dream. Mm-hmm. I had a laptop.
Yeah.
And a couple of $100 each month. I had some skills as a photographer. So what I've done is I made the project saying, I'm a student, I'm going to go to the North and the South Pole, I'm going to document what's happening with the penguins, climate change,
right,
and the glaciers. And I wrote to companies all over the world saying, can I have a camera?
Oh.
He didn't have any context.
Oh, say that again, Anka.
He didn't have any context, so...
Oh, no, it's just research.
Just a will, just a desire.
So he wrote... You know, on the contact form from a company's website?
Yes.
The contact form that nobody replies to?
Yes.
That's where he...
Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
So then somebody from Japan... So
and again, just interrupting you, someone would say, that's completely preposterous, it would never work. But you said... And it's one of the other things in your book. You say, you can't just follow the herd mentality or the sheep mentality that says, and it's not possible because no one else has done it. You say, well, no, it may be possible. And I liked at the beginning of the book, I don't remember now the person who wrote the foreword. It says here, Greg Braden. He mentions about the four-minute mile and the challenges there. That was quite interesting that when we say that it's not possible to run faster than the four-minute mile, then we actually limit the human being. And then when finally someone actually passed that mark, then the other one, very shortly after, he said it was a month or something, after that was able to break that record even again. So this idea of not having a mental limit to say, I can't do something, that's very interesting.
That's because the mind is just a mechanism to focus. In the Bible, it says the mind is the servant.
Mm-hmm.
So it's either the servant of God, mm-hmm. the servant of the spirit, or is the slave of the social environment, is the slave of what you see around you.
Beautiful. Beautiful. We're enjoying this interview. We're going to continue after a little bit of our traditional music here that we play.
I hung my head for the last time in surrender and despair. Before I'm dead, I'll take the last climb up the mountain, face my fear.
has come to make a choice. Use my voice.
I mentioned traditional music, but I wasn't meaning ethnic music necessarily, just traditional to our program. That was Josh Garles. We like Josh Garles in this program, and we'd love to listen to him. And we have a tiny dream. We'd like to actually meet him one day. So who knows? Maybe your book's going to inspire us to find a way to bring him here to New Zealand, which we've been talking about for several years. So we're talking now with Dr. Dragos Radățanu, who grew up in Romania, and has a very, very interesting life. You know, I wish you to read the book, because if you read the book, you'll say, is this even a real story or is it a fiction? The Pursuit of Dreams is the title of the book, and it's called Claim Your Power, Follow Your Heart, and Fulfill Your Destiny. And we're enjoying reading about it because you are a person of tremendous scientific acumen. Very few people reach the level of scientific endeavor that you've reached. And yet, you also have this interest in, I don't know what to call it. I want to say self-actualization, but maybe that's the wrong... How would you describe your sort of core goal?
My core goal is to... to get myself out of the way, to live in full surrender to Christ.
Wow.
That's my goal.
Well, we have.
I'm not trying to improve myself. I'm trying to dismantle myself so only Jesus can live in me. That's the final goal.
Beautiful, beautiful. Well, you are on the right radio show for that.
This isn't what people normally think scientists want to do. Most scientists want to take apart the natural world, measure it, anything but what you're talking about. So do you see that as being different from a scientific pursuit? And
no, I don't think so, because I believe every truthful and honest scientist in the end will reach to find God.
Wow, what a beautiful
whenever there is
statement.
Any kind of self-interest or deception going on, you'll just miss it completely. But otherwise, yeah. There's science is discovering what God has created.
Yes.
So there's
yes.
no conflict. There's no conflict. It's just obviously the world is here. It has its laws by which it functions.
Yes.
We are just here to discover what He has created.
Yes. Yes. I agree with you. So, I've always had that sense myself. I mean, whether it be Christopher Columbus, you know, trying to discover the new world. But there were already people living here. He didn't, it's not like he didn't invent it. He just discovered it. It was already here. It was already operating, existing, people living, dying, beautiful civilizations. And then he found it, you know, for the Western world, let's say. But anyway, we are asking you about this interesting book, and I have so many questions. And our time is limited here. It's just a little radio program.
You know, it's amazing. We can do lots of things in 10 minutes.
Okay, we're going to keep trying. We are interesting point of your book. I'm being a little bit pedantic here. I want to know, how did you get the camera so you could go to...
I asked for it.
Tell us the story. You wanted to go to the South Pole.
Yep.
You needed a fine camera. Your friend told me, you don't even have a camera. And he, at that point, you were supposed to give up your dream. But you said, I'm not going to give up my dream. You said, I'm going to do something different. What did you do then?
I wrote to every single company in this world. So I didn't know people. I just went online, did my research, sent emails. Yeah. And one lady from Japan said, we really love your project. And they gave me this beautiful, expensive, high-end camera for me to use. So that's it.
Amazing. What was the... The company didn't want to promote itself or anything, but what is the name of the company? Can we say it online or no?
Oh, yeah, it's Nikon.
Nikon.
Yeah.
So Nikon was your friend.
Yep.
Wonderful. Well, that makes me like the Nikon company even more than I did before. So they gave you a camera. Did anyone have to teach you how to use it, or you were smart enough to figure out how to do that?
No, I had the basic skill as a photographer. I was just starting up in the craft to learn how things work and so yes. on. So I knew how to use them.
So when you... When you're in the South Pole, on the way to the South Pole, you must have seen amazing things that most of us can't even dream to see. Do you have? Were those photos? Did they become a book, or how did they?
Yeah,
is there a place we could see them? What you saw?
Yep. If you go to blurb.com, so blurb.com, and you just type in Antarctic Dream.
Okay. Antarctic Dream.
Yeah.
Blurb.com.
The book is there. It's free. It's an entire album for you to enjoy. So
free.
Yeah. I mean, you can view it for free if you
wow.
want to.
That sounds wonderful. I don't have a dream to go to South Pole, but I do have a dream to read about it. So I'd like to fulfill that dream and go on blurb.com and look about, what is it called?
Antarctic Dream.
Antarctic Dream. So we can look that up. So, President, do you have a blurb, a dream to go to the South Pole or North Pole?
I think I'm as close to the South Pole here in New Zealand as I want to get. I have friends who've been to the South Pole. I know some stories about it. I just, you know, I like the beach.
Well, you know, the penguins have a type of beach. It's just instead of sand, they have ice. You know?
Yeah, they also have predators. I guess we do, too.
But there, you know what, the funny thing, I don't know anything about North or South Pole, but everybody always imagines the polar bears eating the penguins, but I guess they're not, the polar bears are in the North Pole and the penguins yep. are in the South Pole.
No, so the walruses eat the penguins.
The walruses eat the penguins?
Yeah.
Is that true?
Yeah. Oh,
poor walruses. Yeah. Anyway, so you made it there and you survived. Obviously, I'm sitting here with you right now and here we are. We're broadcasting from the Sky Tower, believe it or not, but we're in Point Chevalier. At the Planet Audio headquarters here, and so we know for a fact that you made it back alive. So that was really exciting. Now you also went to the North Pole. Then, but I mean, that wasn't enough to go to the South Pole. Most people say, "I went to the South Pole. I can rest in peace. I can die in peace." But you decided to have passion to go to the North Pole as well, and you went there.
Yep.
The North Pole is nothing but ice, and you can only take a boat so far.
No,
so
I've been at the furthest island close to the North Pole. Yeah.
Where was that?
In Svalbard.
And tell us more, because not everybody knows geography like me.
Svalbard is this belongs to Norway.
Okay.
I think it's like 4 or 5 hour flight from Oslo up north.
Wow.
Okay.
I think it's probably the furthest land you can touch.
Bravo.
Before the North Pole.
Wow.
And what was the highlight of that trip for you? The first thing that comes to your mind when you say the best thing that happened there?
The Northern Lights.
Yeah. Oh.
Now, of course, this is we don't have a lot of time, as you know, in this radio show. But we do want to pause for a moment because you have told us something very important. And that is that you believe in Jesus Christ. Now, again, in this world that I'm living in New Zealand, many people think that to believe in Jesus Christ and believe in science are so very opposite and so very different. And yet you found them to be complementary. Did you, in your life as an adult, you know, scientist, have you encountered a lot of resistance for faith from other fellow scientists? Or, I mean, how has that played out in your life?
Not so much from scientists.
Oh, interesting.
And I had a challenge to talk to people about Christ because yeah. I need to figure out the best way how to approach it.
Yes.
So, because for me, my journey was, I was in Romania, I wanted nothing to do with Christianity. So I just, ever since I was a kid, I ran away from it.
Yes.
But I was seeking, honestly, I was seeking for something, but I just didn't want Christianity.
Yes.
So I've I went to Nepal to Buddhist temples. I've studied the shamans, any kind of teaching in this world you can imagine. So I'm not speaking from, I know, I've read, right. I've researched.
Right. And you are, after all, a man with a doctoral degree in
space, yeah.
Space technology.
So what happened was, yeah, so. Some years ago, I went through this dark depression, mm-hmm. for 3 years. I was extremely, extremely dark depression. And one evening when I had reached rock bottom, I just cried out, God, if you're real, I think I desperately need you. So I was crying out to a God I had no idea exists, you know?
Yes.
So what happened, I ended up in a friend's house, and nobody in the house, nobody on the farm I was living in. This was in Hawaii.
Wow.
Yeah, so I found a book by Catherine Kuhlman. Probably you know her.
I've heard of her.
Yeah, and I had no idea who she was, so I opened the book, and I was reading the foreword, and at the end of the foreword it said, if you have not made the full surrender to Jesus Christ, do it now. So in that moment, I felt like an electric shock went through my heart. My knees buckled. I almost dropped on the floor.
Wow.
And when I got up, instantly, all depression, pain, guilt, hurt, shame, everything completely gone.
That sounds amazing. Gorgeous.
So in that moment, I knew beyond any doubt that he is the truth.
Wow, that's a wonderful story. Well, I think we kind of reached the end, huh, President?
Oh, we have time for one more question.
One more question?
Yeah.
Well, here's a fun question. I hope that you'll not mind me asking. You married this beautiful woman, Anka, who's sitting next to you. What told you, this is the one for me? How'd you know that?
Yeah, we want to know about this particular pursuit. We want to know. No, actually, how did you say it?
I think marriage is a journey that I'm still trying to figure out.
I don't think anybody figures it out.
Yeah, it's a life journey, but it's a constant unfolding. And I think we have to think of life that way, too. You know, that there's always... If we believe that God is a mystery, which we say that he is, we have to imagine that even if we spend our entire life and many lifetimes looking through and trying to understand God, he will constantly reveal new things to us. And it's also that way with other people.
But you know the key? When you seek me with your whole heart,
yes,
you will find me.
Yes. Is that from the Bible?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the key is with the whole heart.
With the whole heart, huh?
If you seek me with your whole mind, you're probably never going to find me.
The whole heart.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah, and that's true. And did anybody have to teach you how to approach God from the heart, or did it come naturally?
No, the moment I had my encounter, my experience, my miracle experience, mm-hmm. I knew what I have to do moment by moment.
Wow. And
I spent 6 months after that repenting for everything.
Wow.
For beautiful. Everything.
So and reading the Bible every day for...
Yeah.
Wow. Anka, yeah. Tell us one last thing, because we're just about to close our program today. Any last words, Anka? Your first time on the radio?
Yeah. Congratulations, Anka.
Thank you. I'm a bit shy. I don't know. Last words. I don't know. I just hope that everyone who listens to us got from today just a bit of courage to follow their dreams.
Oh, that's beautiful. Yeah. What a great final word for our show today. Well, thank you very much for joining us. As always, this program is a ministry of the Sacred Archdiocese of New Zealand, headquartered in Wellington, whose Arch Shepherd is His Eminence Archbishop Miron. And we're so glad to have you today in our program. And all of you who are listening, we're glad to have you with us today. And spread the news. Let other people know about the show as well. Thank you so much.
Down, pour out on.